Make your glow up official. Stop procrastinating and start podcasting. When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had so many questions like, how do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people like to listen? And where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% ridiculously easy to use. I chose Anchor to be my hosting platform for Hello Dopeness because it saves me so much time. Anchor does all the heavy lifting of connecting my podcast to the most popular streaming networks. Right now, Hello Dopeness is streaming on 10 platforms, and I didn't even have to lift a finger. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of dope, nerdy, and ambitious podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I cannot wait to hear your podcast.
Hello, dopeness. Hello, optimists. Hello, paper chasers. Hello, entrepreneurs. Hello, naturals, earth flowers, and sunshines. Hello, success. I built a brand from Wi-Fi in a dream. I didn't know I had it in me, a queen. My ambition was to be a success, and no less. I got productive, put my goals to the test. I didn't really have a clue what to do. I was betting on something that was new. I kept affirming to believe, see, do. Out the blue, I started popping and my clientele grew. See, babe, your passion doesn't come from what your friends say. If you have faith, then you're gonna get there anyway. Keep negativity out your lane and you'll win the race. Create your space, get in place, keep a good face. Mustard seeds pop popping, now you got revenue. The trolls lurking, but you got better ish to do. Hello, dopeness is where I deliver the truth. Tune in, babe, turn me up, I got all the juice. Okay, so you ready? You've been waiting for something like this. I'm the host of this very dope, nerdy, and ambitious podcast. I'm India Rochelle, the CEO, founder of this brand. Hello Dopeness is a vibe. Bring your gifts and skill set, bring your magic, bring your humor, and bring your authentic self when you show up here. Welcome and namaste.
Hello Dopeness is India Rochelle, the creator of Hello Dopeness, and you're back. It's episode 2, and we are going to get into some things. This week, it has been crazy. The temperature here in Atlanta has been set to burr, but at least everyone got to experience a very beautiful Halloween, and I trick-or-treated this year with the kiddos and ate more candy than ever. Today, I have invited my really good friend slash sister, Tiffany Lovell, to sit down with me, and she's here. Hey, Tiff, what's up?
Hey. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, I hope they're doing fine, because we're really about to talk about some things today. Please tell my podcast listeners like who you are and what you do.
Yeah, definitely. So on the corp side, I have a background in human resources, business analysis, and quality assurance testing for about between a span of 7 to 8 years. On the creative dope side, I am a wedding event planner and also the founder and director of MDAI Pageant, also known as Miss Diaspora Africa International Pageant.
Yes. So I love Tiffany, and you know I love you, Tiff.
Yes, I love you too, girl.
Way up there in New Jersey, and I'm way down here in Atlanta. But I can tell you guys, like, honestly, I can't live without her. She's amazing to me. I call her sister. She's my sister in Christ, my sister in real life. Like,
yes,
y'all,
for real.
So, Tiff, can you share how we connected?
Yes, definitely. But before that, you know, I got to shout out to Brooklyn, because I am a Brooklynite forever and forever. India and I connected because I reached out to India when she was a part of the Branding Babes at the time. They were doing a lot of amazing work, and I came across them on social media between Facebook and Instagram. So I reached out to India via Messenger. And I was just like, hey, you know, I would love to work with you guys. I just started this new pageant brand and I need some help. I need someone who could really drive the vision and the kind of work that they were doing. I felt that the brands would just be the right synergy. So I reached out, but at the time, India thought I was trying to reach out to her to be a contestant or sponsor or something. And I was like, Lord, no. So yeah,
I would have been so awkward. I don't even know how I would have walked across the stage if I would have been that opportunity would have been set in front of me. Like, you would have been like, this girl is a nervous wreck, something wrong with her, like, I don't know. But I definitely would have been nervous if I go ahead. I'm sorry cut you off.
No. And that was it. I mean, the rest was history. At the time, you know, they had a lot of projects going on and I was still trying to figure out exactly what I wanted the MDI pageant to represent in the pageant world as well as the African diaspora. So it just wasn't good timing, but India and I stayed connected and went from business relationship to friendship to sisterhood. So that's where we at now.
I think you also, like, when you came to me, you wanted PR. And at the time, I hadn't stepped into my purpose yet. So I wasn't ready. I do a PR, and you kept claiming it on my life. Like,
yes.
No, I don't want it yet. No. So it's been like 2 years since we met each other. And like, I can tell Tiffany anything and everything. She listens. She's a great, like, inspirational and spiritual kind of guide, you know, to a lot of women. Just imagine, you know, the women she works with the pageant, you know, that you work with the pageant, and then also, you know, working outside yourself with sisterhood, like sistership relationships. So it's a big deal to even be able to, you know, stay connected on the sister side. And I just, you know, I just love you. So tell everyone about what your brand is about, tell them about your brands and what you've been working on.
Right now with MDAI, the purpose of MDAI is a Pan-African pageant brand, and mm-hmm. our focus is to pay homage to our African ancestry, our ancestors, mm-hmm. Even though, you know, it has a bad taste being connected to the transatlantic slave trade, but we wanted to shine a better light on it. So that's what MDAI is about, and it's really powerful. Like, for us, the cultural performance is, like, really the bread and butter of the show. Like, when we do the actual pageant show, it really, like, all the contestants bring that to life, their, you know, their ancestral story on stage. So right now, this year, we decided to take a hiatus. We took a break because of personal reasons and everything going on with me. I'm moving to the DMV area. Shout out to the DMV folks. Leaving Jersey for, you know, personal reasons with my husband. Our careers are changing, things are changing, so we're moving out there. But we did crown a queen and a princess. The queen, the amazing queen that we have, is Queen Jasmine Cox. She's also a model, she's into media, PR, she's a singer, she's amazing. Kayleen Noel, she also is very heavy in her community in Boston, as well as her community back in Arizona, and the Cameroonian community and all that. Yes. So, you know, they all are doing amazing. They're both doing amazing things. And you can follow both of them on Instagram at, for Queen Cox, it's at MDI _ Queen Cox. For Kayleen, it's at Kayleen Noel. Kayleen, you spell it with Kayleene Noel, Noel. No spaces. So you can follow both of them, and, you know, we're just excited to see what they're going to do in the community, and I'll be working closely with both of our lovely women. Yeah.
Awesome. So today's topic is what I call a Black girl experience. It's like one of those moments you know, realize, hey, you know, you were a Black woman in your career or in life or whatever, and Tiffany is going to share her Black girl experience, but I'll share mine here first. So,
yes.
My first BGE was about 6 years ago. And I probably had more in my life, but this is the one that just shook me. And it was 6 years ago. I was working, you know, in the medical field as a medical biller and coder before I became fabulously, you know, this fabulous, you know, entrepreneur.
Dope unicorn.
You know, right, this little dope unicorn or whatever, before I became all that. And I was working for a chiropractic office. Ooh, I hope they listening. You ever feel like that? Like, I hope you listen. I ain't signed no NDA. Anyway, so I was working for this chiropractic office, and
I remember just thinking like, oh my God, you know how when you after you graduate and you're just so excited to just do something that you worked so hard for? I was just so excited to intern and just start working there and everything. The money was good. You know, once I got through my internship, everything was great. And, you know, I remember this one day, the manager of the, you know, back to the office or whatever, she goes, hey, India, can I pull you aside? And she's like, yeah, you know, you have to, you know, start staying later. And I'm like, I can't. And she's like, well, we hired you, da 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 da. And I'm like, you hired me from this time to this time through my school. There is no, you know, extra 30 minutes. I have to get kids from off, you know, from daycares, and I have other stuff to do. Mm-hmm. So she goes, you know, she looks at me, and that look, like, you know how, like, you get that look from a boss, like, if you can't do it, then somebody else can. She gave me that look, but I still, like, just disregarded it because, you know, I think the best in everyone. So I'm like, you know, she wouldn't do me like that. Like, I've been here for like, you know, 3-4 months strong. And, you know, she would never do me like that. So I didn't think anything of it. I went home, and it was just something like that next morning I woke up and I like kind of knew that this job, I don't know why, how I felt it, but I just felt like something was off. But instead, you know me, I'm optimistic. I go to Starbucks, I get coffee, you know, for me and her, you know, I'm still being nice. I get coffee, everything. And so I get in the office, and this lady, you know, she's sitting at her desk looking all, you know, desky or whatever. I don't know what you call this. Just looking like she was just like mad or something and just typing like, and I just didn't say anything. I was like, hi, good morning. I brought you coffee. I sat it beside her. She really didn't say thank you or nothing. You know, she just kind of sat there. And I was like, okay. And so I then, you know, sat at my desk, and I realized like, wow, I have like a lot of paperwork on my desk. It was like really, really stacked. It was more than normal. It was more like medical and insurance bills than normal, you know? So I was like, okay. You know, of course my subconscious was like, yo, this don't feel right. But I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm tripping. I'm going to keep hope alive. So I kept on, you know, I went on ahead. God. I did, you know, this is before I'm like, now I'm like the entrepreneur India. The other India didn't have no clue. But now this India, I know what's up now. But, you know, so anyway, so I'm sitting there. I do all the work from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. I crush and kill all the paperwork that's like sitting and piled up on my desk. So I'm like, okay, it's 11 o'clock. I'm about to go for my 2-hour break because the clinic closed like for 2 hours, I believe, like on certain days. I can't remember what day it was, but anyway, it closes. And so I'm like, okay, I'm about to take a break. She's like, oh, before you go, did you finish all your work? I was like, I did. She was like, can I pull you inside the x-ray room? And I'm like, okay. So I go to the x-ray room, and she's like, you know, well, after discussing this with the doctor, we have decided that, you know, because you can't stay the extra 30 minutes, we're going to have to let you go, da 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 da. And I was like really sad, but, you know, honestly, I'm one of those people where it doesn't matter what you put in front of me, I'm going to make it great. So I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. I thank you for the opportunity. Can you write me a, you know, reference for my next job and this, that, and the third? And she goes, sure. She's like, but I just have a little input. And I'm like, okay, what's that? She was like, you know, you can't you do a lot of outshining other people. I was like, huh? What?
That's crazy.
I'm sitting here like, all I'm doing is being nice to people. Like the client, you know, clients were coming in, patients were coming in. I was just, you know, nice to them, and I wasn't doing anything wrong, but, you know, I looked at her. I'm like, okay, she looked like she about 50 something years. Oh, maybe she, you know, I'm just gonna let her have it. Cause I was like 21 or 22. I think I was like 20, 23 or something. I don't know. I was somewhere around there, 22, 23.
Okay.
And so I'm like, you know, whatever. So she's like, just come back in on Friday to get your check. And I'm like, you know, cool. I'll come back in on Friday. I didn't, you know, get mad about it or anything. And I really didn't even nitpick on the reason why I just kind of was like, okay, you know, it's my time. I'll just leave, you know, whatever. And so I come back Friday. And before I go in, what's so crazy is that Racine, you know, fiance, he saw, like, he felt the energy, and he was like, before you go in and get your check, you know, go ahead and push the record button on your phone. I'm like, I don't want to record. He's like, no, I just feel like something is not right. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So
go ahead, fiance. I know that's right.
And I was like, it just feels like something's not right. And so he goes, India, well, he's like, just do it. So I do it, whatever. Anyway, so I go inside of the doctor's office and for some reason I could feel the energy before I get in there. So I'm just kind of walking on eggshells, like tiptoeing almost in there. And I go to the front desk and I see the manager. And mind you, this is a family owned business. It's only two of them. Like it's the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law. So this is a family owned, Italian chiropractic office. And so I'm like, okay. I was like, okay. You're funny. I'm like, okay. So I ended up, I go in. So I'm standing there. I'm like, yeah, I'm here to pick up my check. And so while I'm standing there, the doctor is pacing back and forth. And I'm looking at him at the side of my eye. I have a big peripheral because your girl got big eyes. So my peripheral is pretty big. And so I saw him like walking back and forth. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, finally he stops. Well, I asked her what's wrong. She's like, I don't know. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, is everything okay? And I hate that I asked him that, because the reaction that he gave me was, I have people like you to wash my cars. And I have people like you to clean my toilet. And that's what he said. Yeah, that's what he said. And so when he said it to me, it damn near shattered my whole entire life. Like I felt like I wanted to cry, but my pride wouldn't let me cry, in front of him like that. So I kind of just tried to suck it in. And I went back over, walked back over, because I couldn't believe he said, I'm like, this is a doctor. Like I went to school in medical billing and coding. Any medical industry you're in, like being ethical is number one. Like,
right.
How your presence, how you are, how you're respected, you hold your title to the utmost. It's rules to it. And so for him to just kind of be, I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this man said that to me, so I was like, okay, my feelings were like so hurt. But it still hadn't clicked with me until I got the check and I was walking out and I was like, man, the black girl in me wanted to say something, but then I was just like, this isn't my place. This isn't my job. This isn't, I can go to jail. I know how it is. This is Georgia. Okay.
Right.
We ain't going to go farther than that. This is Georgia. So I wasn't going to go too far. And so I walked out and I just remember just like bursting in tears as soon as I got off the, out of there. And Racine just looked at me while I was in the car and he looked at me like, do I need to get out? Like he was about to open the door and I'm like, no. I shook my head. I was like, no, stay where you are. And so it was like one of those moments where I was so upset about it that it ended up pushing me towards like what I do for a living. Entrepreneurship, writing. It just made me so mad. because I felt like I was powerless in that situation. Because I was working for someone else, and it just turned me off from the whole, I don't knock anyone for corporate or any job they work, because you got to make your coins and you got to hustle. But at that point, it was just too much for me that I was like, I can't stay here. I can't be here. I'm going to build my own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what I did. Like I took my coins, left. I got my life together and just, went on into the sunset with, everything. And so basically it pushed me towards my career and, made me a more transparent brand to be able to talk about this. So, that's it. What's your BGE, Tiff?
My BGE was back when I was a business analyst and quality assurance tester for 4.5 years, almost 5 years with this company, Japanese insurance company in America. So they were super conservative, suit and tie company. So for me being a creative, that was a bit much, right? I've been in other industries where, but there was more like, I worked in more other companies prior to that. That was more like marketing, media, communications, a type company. Right. So this was a stretch. for the girls.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I survived for 4 years or whatever, mm-hmm. but it was during one of my performance reviews, and I did really well, you know, after getting the feedback from my managers and whatnot. That was great, but I was actually waiting for a promotion and a training that they said that they would take care of and pay for me to get so I could go to the next level in my career. Of course, that never happened. When I looked around, all these other white guys or, you know, got the promotion and got the training, and I never did. And I was actually a part of the pilot of one of the systems that they brought into the company at the time. So it was just like, what's going on here? Well and behold, a couple of days after my performance review, I came across an article. And that article to this day is my motivator. The article pretty much summed up saying that women like Oprah, it specifically mentioned Oprah Winfrey. Women who look like Oprah Winfrey don't go far in corporate
America.
Where
was it published at? Like, look like Oprah Winfrey?
I don't remember, girl. It was crazy.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, they mentioned Oprah? Are they nuts?
They mentioned Oprah, not Mama O. No.
Yeah, because what they were trying to say is that it's very slim to, it's like almost, you know, impossible right. to have the kind of lifestyle and success as an Oprah Winfrey if you're a brown or black girl and you're plus size. That's basically what the article was about. And I'm both. You know, I've been sick my whole life since I was like, as long as I remember,
right.
I was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So to read that, and of course, and of course, Oprah Winfrey being your idol, and to read that in an article after that just happened to me with this crazy performance review, and it didn't make sense to me. I was like, is that what they're doing to me here? Is that why they're holding me back in my career? Because I'm a brown skin woman and I'm thick, you know? Like, is that what they're doing here at this place? Because, you know, by nature, Japanese people are very small people, and they believe in, like, they don't believe in having a whole bunch of weight on them and all this other stuff, like culture and all this stuff. And so, you know, but a lot of people have said that, you know, a lot of Asians are, you know, a little racist or discriminate a little
I've
bit against the black and brown
folks. I've heard some things.
Right, I've heard some things. So I started to think, and I'm like, is that what's going on? So I went home, I spoke to my parents about it or whatever, and my father was like, you know, I raised you to always achieve your goals. And to
real quick, you guys that's listening, no offense to Asians, I have Asian friends too, I love y'all.
We all love y'all,
this is just the situation at hand we're talking about. Go ahead, go back.
Yes, absolutely, we're not, you know, definitely I do too. But it's just at that time. So anyway, so when I went in, you know, my dad, he spoke to me. He was like, listen, I've always taught you to be a go-getter, independent, a thinker as a woman, as a black woman. But I'm not going to lie to you. This is a reality that you're going to deal with for the rest of your life. And I was shocked because I wasn't expecting my father to respond like that. And that just changed it for me. From there, it's just been this drive that I'm going to prove everybody wrong. And I said to myself, you know, when I went in my room and I wrote in my journal, I promised myself that Oprah would never be the last plus size successful black woman.
You go, girl.
And, you know, that was my experience. So, you know, still working towards that goal, but, you know, every day is a milestone in my eyes, you know. You know, small baby steps, small wins, big wins, but definitely we'll get there.
And so I guess that was how you moved past it. Was that how you moved past it, or? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm talking. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. I definitely moved past it because what do you do, right? You either crumble or you either make up your mind to prove people wrong. And at that point, I knew I was, you know, I've always did very well in school. I was doing extremely well at the job. I got I got all the great reviews and all of that, even though I did not get my promotion or the training I wanted. So I knew it wasn't a matter of, you know, am I qualified? You know, am I up to the challenge or the test?
Yeah, this was just
I just decided I'm not going to crumble. I have to push through all of this, you know, bust through the glass ceilings, which is quite, you know, often all women experience, even Caucasian, Asian, all women of all races in corporate America experiences this. So, but, you know, as they say, you know, for a brown girl, it's often
it's
a little
different.
It's a different experience.
It is.
So, but yeah, you know, that was the motivator. And just looking at my role models, looking up to Oprah and so many other women who have impacted my life during that time, the, you know, the Oprahs, the Maya Angelous, so many women that I looked up to at that time, always loved Cicely Tyson and what she stands for, and,
you know,
coming from a Caribbean background, you know, all of these different things. So I never, and you know, because I come from a Caribbean culture, women are naturally tough. Like we're not a
it's something about us, it's this oomph
and this tenacity to just keep pushing, and we don't take crap from nobody type of thing.
You made me a tougher sister, like, for real. Like I think I've taught you, like, India, like, you know, we've had a few conversations where you're like, girl, you know, this is what it is. We're going to have to, you know, and I'll straighten up, and then I'll call you back, and I'll be like, hey, sis. You're like, oh, you
joyful. That's right. Come on now. Put on them boxing gloves.
right.
Let's go.
So three things you would tell someone to do that is in the same, you know, give advice you would give to someone that was in the same, you know, that may be in the same situation. How can someone prepare for that? Like, is it possible for anyone to prepare for a situation like that? Like,
yeah, I think for me, I think women, I don't like to say that because I don't, I'm, you know, I am an optimist too. I am a unicorn too. And, you know, chasing rainbows, right? And all that good stuff. But at the same time, I'm a realist, right? And being a woman in corporate America, like I said, it's something that's across the board. It's not a black girl thing. It's not a black girl experience. There's a glass ceiling for all women.
Right.
But
right.
there is a thicker glass ceiling for black and brown women. I would say that. So just being mindful of that and knowing that you have to work, you know, people don't like when we say it. It's, you know, it is a cliche, but it's a reality that we have to work twice as hard to get our, to get up there and to move up the corporate ladder. So just be willing to really work really hard or take those skills and become an entrepreneur. You really don't have that much choice. It's either you're going to deal with the punches and break your way through all the barriers and dealing, you know, most of the industries that we are in, and we're really the backbone of a lot of these companies, they're still very much male dominated industries. So you have to be, you have to make up your mind that you're going to go in and fight, and you're going to go in and fight to get your seat.
I'm with Tiffany Lavelle Steele. We're still, you know, in this mode. And so I'm going, I'm going to say 10 names of public figures. And Tiff, you're going to tell me, if you think they are wake or, you know, woke. So,
okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Stacey Abrams.
I've been hearing some mixed things about.
I love Stacey, girl. I'm all for it. But go ahead. This is you.
I mean, from what I'm hearing, some people would say she wake.
Okay.
From what I've seen, I would say she's woke. So I don't know. I'm kind of like
so
a
it's
toss
in between.
Up with Stacey.
A toss up. Okay. The next one is Omarosa.
Oh God, she need to go to sleep. What? Is that an option on this one?
It is an option. Omarosa. Okay, and this is, like, I read her book, so I have my own opinion. And, you know, I know a lot of black people didn't buy it. You know, I get that. But, you know, the writer in me, I'm so curious and nosy, I had to. So, you know, I have my own opinion. But wake or woke, Omarosa.
I mean, since sleep is not an option, I'm going to go with wake.
Okay, wake. Okay. Kaya.
Kaya? My neck, my back?
My neck, my back. Yes. these are hard ones, girl. They hard. Come on.
These are hard ones.
They hard. Yeah. Like, so wake or woke?
I would say she is wake. Baby okay, girl. Okay.
I'm gonna leave that
yeah.
alone.
Mm, we ain't gonna go there. We ain't gonna go there today. Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj.
She's wake. I'm sorry.
She's wake. Oh, okay. Juju. She's an author, entrepreneur, secrets of, you know, the jewel.
She was with Cameron.
Yes, Cameron.
Okay. Juju? No, Juju's super woke.
super woke. Yes, I want to say, girl, you better not say that. She's super woke. Okay. Teyana Taylor.
She woke. She is.
She
yeah.
woke. Okay. Cardi yeah. B.
Cardi B, super woke. Come on.
Okay. I mean, this is just a list that I've compiled that we just, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Cardi B woke.
Okay. Candy Burris.
She woke, because she bought
she
that
woke.
Business.
Okay. Yeah, she bought her business. Okay. Tyra Banks.
She wake, because if you go back to
she
some
wake.
Of them episodes.
Okay. Oh Lord, I can't do this. Oh my God. Okay. And we got to make up for the one that you didn't. So I have an optional name. So for Stacey Abrams, because you said you undecided. So the next one is Amara Negra.
Oh, she woke. Super woke.
Yeah, that's she woke. Yeah, she is. Okay. I love Amara. Okay. And to make up for the one that you said, you know. I don't know, for Stacey Abrams. Meghan Markle.
Oh, she woke.
She woke. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So that was a good game. Like you.
That was dope. I loved it.
That was dope. Okay, Tiffany, so it's coming to the end of the show, unfortunately, you guys.
Aww.
Tiffany, I know. You can come hang. But we're going to have another episode, like, I think it's episode 7. And you're coming
okay.
on for the sisterhood, like the sister kind of, you know, hood
yes,
talk with me
excited
and a couple of other girls
week.
A discussion. It's going to be dope. But, you know, so I want you to tell everyone how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, well, they can get in touch with me via email, talglobalevents@gmail.com. That's all one word. And also, you can follow us on Instagram. We're kind of like I said earlier, the MDAI pageant's on break, but you can still follow us at MDAI pageant. Yeah, so that's how you can follow me for now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. And I would like to
give a few shout outs if you don't mind. I have some other
go
people.
Go ahead, shout it out, girl. Shout
wanted.
It out.
Yes. So I wanted to shout out my spiritual mom. You can follow her on Instagram at SarafinaThomas1, the number one. Rhea Molly, who's the East Regional Director for MDAI Pageant. You can follow her at Rhea Molly. And then, of course, our Assistant Pageant Director, Glenda Collins. You can follow her at DivaGram53, no spaces. So, yeah, those are the team. And, of course, India, y'all already know how to find Queen India. So
Right. At India Rochelle. Yeah.
Squad.
Yes. Well, I thank you so much for, like, you know, showing up for me, sis. Like, I truly appreciate you coming here and just kind of setting the tone. So, you guys, next week I'll be back for another episode. If you want more details about upcoming shows before it airs, or receive newsletters, articles, and freebies, subscribe to get emails on hellodopeness.com. Don't forget to follow me and or the brand on social media. Just look up my personal brand by typing in India Rochelle or Hello Dopeness on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Really, you can Google me and you will find all my social networks. So either way, I want to thank you guys for tuning in again, you know, to HD. And I'll be back again next week at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 102.6 The Situation Radio. And every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, basically everywhere podcasts are streaming, you are able to tune in. Join me on, you know, the next episode and also join me on Twitter. If you're listening to this on a Monday, then you can tune in right now. Use the hashtag HelloDopeness to get, you know, get in touch.
Like I said, if you're listening to this on a Monday, you're in luck because I'm live on Twitter all day, to answer all your cues. Tiffany, you gonna come on Twitter with me today, Monday?
You know, I ain't with that Twitter. I ain't no Twitter girl.
Lord. Y'all gotta catch her on Instagram. Y'all gotta catch her on Instagram.
Yes.
But I'm gonna definitely be on Twitter answering your cues and talking about, the subject tonight, today was the Black Girl Experience, BGE. But that's it, I'm glad you guys joined me. Talk to you later, loves, and namaste.
Pleasure and the honor of you.
Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to talk to you guys later. See you soon. Next episode. Bye.
Bye.